Madden Monday on Trib Live. Tim Benz with you, as always, with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. After the Steelers lost to the Cincinnati Bengals at Acrisure Stadium, I walked out from the press box, walked to the media parking area, and someone had puked right next to my car. A big hurl, splat, right next to the driver's side entrance, which is symbolic for what the Steelers defense did to itself on Sunday against the Bengals. Mark, we can talk, and we will talk about the offense and Kenny Pickett because that's what we do, but that defense sure was bad on what was supposed to be this crowning moment where that high payroll, highly paid, highly touted defense was finally healthy and ready to play together, and the Bengals shredded them.
Yeah, and I see people making excuses for the defense with the old standard being applied. Well, they run the field too much. You know, screw that. If you make the most, you need to do the most. The Bengals were 3-for-3 in the red zone. They ripped off that 93-yard touchdown drive at a crucial juncture in the game like it was nothing. And the defense cost $108 million. That's what their number is on the payroll against the cap. They have three perennial all-pro guys on that side of the ball, whereas the offense has a rookie quarterback, a second-year running back. The top receiver is a rookie, George Pickens. They got a second-year tight end. They have a crappy offensive line. They have far less to work with. I'm tired of the offense, always being blamed, and more specifically, Matt Canada being blamed, because God forbid we should ever blame the golden child, Kenny Pickett, who was absolute horse manure in the second half today. Whereas the defense has, you know, like I said, the three perennial all-pros, they've got the equivalency of three defensive coordinators with Tomlin, Austin, and Flores, and they allowed 37 points today. I don't see how anybody can't just point at the defense, period, or at least give them a share of the blame. But Dan Orlovsky of ESPN said this in the offseason. He said, we view the Steelers, and in particular their defense, as they used to be, out of tradition, and don't see them as they are. And I think that's the perception with anybody in the public who doesn't realize this defense just flat out stinks.
And I think that was true long before this year, actually, Mark. And that's always something that I've felt is a little bit too easily dismissed by Steelers fans, very easily dismissed by Steelers fans, because there's been so much to go after for the offense that we just pretend the defense is still what it was in 2005, in 1995, in 1975, and it sure as hell is not. I mean, you brought it up, that excuse that people are saying, oh, the defense was on the field too much, that's bogus because the first, and I have to qualify this, the first 90-plus scoring drive that they gave up, 90-yard scoring drive, was in the second quarter, and the game was tied at the time 10-10. What's the offense supposed to do? Interrupt the Bengals mid-drive? That's not how it works. The defense has to get off the field.
And we also see stuff like T.J. Watt missing a series and Alex Highsmith missing a series because they need to rest. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. T.J. Watt makes $1 jillion. Stay out there for every snap until the game's out of reach.
There was a lot of load management going on, and at what turned out to be crucial times, I think the first three scores, Mark, at least one of, if not two of, Watt, Highsmith, and Hayward were out in the scoring plays.
Yeah, and, you know, whatever. If you want to have load management, like it's a team that's going to definitely make the playoffs, go ahead and do that. It shows how the fans aren't the only ones who are delusional. But Mike Tomlin is, and even T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt should want to be out there, period. Every snap in a game like today that really, finally, totally, and for good, cut their season off at the knees. Now there's no coming back, not even in theory.
Right, because, well, for two reasons, I think. First of which is, if there was a path that was seen to the playoffs, it was likely going to have to include sweeping the Bengals and
yes,
at least splitting with the Ravens, because there's no wild card way in, because they're 0-4 in the AFC East, and all those teams are above 500. So that's not going to happen. You're going to have to win your division, and this loss is a backbreaker. Oh, and by the way, Mark, look at next week, I guess the Colts aren't the farce that we were making them out to be with Jeff Saturday, because they won their first game and nearly beat the Eagles today. There's no reason for me to think that they can't beat the Steelers too, as much of a joke as we might think that hire is.
Tim, I think they may yet turn out to be exactly the farce you're saying they're not. But you know, it's not like the Steelers are any good either. Like, we were foolish, and not you and I, but I'm talking about the city of Pittsburgh, the citizens, the injuries, to think that the Steelers had a way back in, even theoretically, before today, to contend for the playoffs or even make it. They stink. They stink. Why can't we just say they stink? And one last thing about the defense, too. You look at T.J. Watt, and he's a great player, and he got all those sacks last year, set the record. He was defensive player of the year, and he certainly had impact after playing this year. That interception he had today was out of this world, right? But you don't pay that guy that money for moments, for records, for awards. You pay him to impact winning. And if they don't win, then it's money poorly spent.
And there are plenty of times, sometimes with holding, but not like what I used to see with James Harrison, but sometimes with holding, sure. Lael Collins, though, did a really good job against him one-on-one in a lot of situations. Joe Burrow pointed that out post-game, that they didn't help Collins all that much, and normally if T.J. Watt is left one-on-one with a tackle, he obliterates them. He had his moments today. He had a little flash and some splash like that pick you talked about, but it wasn't like what we saw against Collins and the Bengals in Game 1 when he was being triple-teamed.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Watt was that dominant today. He was very good, but he wasn't dominant.
And by extension, neither were Highsmith and Hayward, although I'd argue Highsmith and Hayward may have been better on their side than Watt was at his, at least at times in the game, if not for the majority of the game. And then the secondary, Mark, there's no Ja'Marr Chase, and yet T. Higgins looked like Ja'Marr Chase. There's no Joe Mixon, and Samaje Perine looked like he could be a number one back.
Tim, I say again, and I said it at the time, at the time of the trade, at the time of the contract, they didn't need to trade for Minka. They didn't need to sign Minka. A safety on a team that has so many holes like the Steelers do, a safety's a luxury player. And as good as Minka is, and he wasn't too great today, was he? He's just not worth what was given to get him. He's not worth what you're paying him. He's not Troy Polamalu either. There are a lot of things Minka Fitzpatrick is. You know, he's an all-pro safety, but he's not Troy Polamalu. He's not worth what they gave up to get him. He's not worth what they're paying. Mark, and that's mostly due to the context he's been put in and not just due to him.
Mark Madden with us from 105.9 The X. Listen to him Monday through Friday, 3 until 6 on The X, and make sure that you watch him with me on Madden Benz Unfiltered, which is at 9:30 in the morning on our Facebook live stream. Read him 4 times a week at Trib Live. What'd you see? What did you fail to see from the offense in the second half after what they put on display in the first half, which was decent?
Yeah, well, we overreacted in the first half. I mean, they were okay. And they put some points on the board, but Kenny Pickett just went to hell in the second half, didn't he? I mean, what happened there? I mean, are we blaming that Canada still? Paul Alexander, the local sports radio guy, he had a great tweet, but it's obvious. He goes, okay, so whenever a play works, that's Pickett's performance, and whenever a play doesn't, it's Canada's doing.
Yeah, and it's been that way ever since Pickett was drafted, and will be that way until Matt Canada is fired, and then it'll just be the same thing, only with a different name instead of Matt Canada next to the name offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but I see, like, you know, the usual suspects, the fake media, the bloggers on Twitter. Why is Matt Canada still the coordinator? Okay, like, he had something to do with losing today. The offense scored 30 points, Tim. Okay? I mean, that should win a game, correct?
It should, although the offense should have done better in the second half. That third quarter was an atrocity. They had three straight three-and-out punts, plus the three-and-out that led to the field goal after the Watt interception from the 20.
They just stink, Tim, the whole team. Let's be honest. It's not just the offense, not just the defense. I think today was more on the defense, like I said, given the resources that the Steelers have on each side of the ball. But they stink, and they're very badly coached. Like, I look at the mistakes made, the penalties taken, How can you say that they're anything but very badly coached?
I think if they lose to the Colts, that'll be the first time when you see the majority of the blame shift from Canada, shift from whatever benched whipping boy like Mitch Trubisky the fans wanted to put it on the first time. It's got to go to Tomlin, because if you lose to that guy, especially with the premium that Steelers fans love to place on coaching stability and coaching experience here, that's an incredibly bad look for Tomlin.
Yeah, if you made me pick a guy to coach my team now between Jeff Saturday and Mike Tomlin, the decision might be closer than people might think.
Mark Madden with us. All right, Mark, let's get to the Penguins next. And they're actually heating up a little bit here. They got 3 wins in a row. Gosh, Sidney Crosby has to play terrible more often, because then I guess he starts to play great.
10 points in 3 games since he played that absolute horrible 60 minutes in the loss to Toronto when he was on the ice for all 5 goals against. That was this past Tuesday at PPG Paints Arena. One thing about Sid is he's very accountable. He takes things personally, not the same way Michael Jordan does, where he turns into a big baby. But Sid just says, okay, that's not acceptable, and he has had 10 points in the last 3 games, Tim. That bet I made on him to win MVP at, what were the odds, plus 360. I'm not saying he's a favorite, but I'm thinking he may play his way into it yet.
You got a better chance there right now than you do with your Kirk Cousins bet, unfortunately.
Yeah, they got killed by the Cowboys. Yikes.
Yeah, they did. I was thinking of you when I saw those scores rolling in. The other one that was really surprising to me was Lions over the Giants. I didn't sniff that one coming with the way things were going for the Giants, the way things I thought were spiraling for the Lions. Hey, the Lions, a game better than the Steelers. Let that one sink in for a while.
Well, there ain't many good teams in the league. And I might be putting it lightly when I say that.
Let's get back to the Pens, Mark. Today, though, did you start to question what was going to happen in the third when the Penguins again let a big lead slip away to the Blackhawks? After I thought they got out of that habit a little bit against the Jets, that was playing well with the lead against the Jets, not so much against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, but they won. You know, and I'm a big Letang guy, right? He's playing horribly. He's really struggling. But mistake after mistake, he's clearly inside his own head. And, you know, he made a lot of mistakes in that Chicago game. But at least they won. I still, like, wish they would totally swallow their pride, like in a game like Chicago, we're up 3-0, and say, okay, we're trapping the rest of the game. I wish they'd do that. I think there have been a couple of cases where they managed leads wisely. The win at Chicago was not one of those. But, hey, they won.
How'd you feel about Jarry in the Winnipeg win?
He was great.
Yeah, he was good, and then Hellebuck made the big mistake late. The Penguins capitalized to make it 2-0, and they got the empty netter after that. But that kind of win, that kind of score, that goaltending showdown for whatever it was, the better part of 55 minutes or so, it was good to see them have to win that way, and they did, against a team that usually can win that way.
You need to know and be willing that you can win a game that way.
And I didn't get to see the game against the Blackhawks because I was doing Steelers stuff afterwards in the locker room. But
I saw a winger, Tim. I followed the Penguins game on my phone, not watching the streaming, but just, you know, keep a track of updates. But you know, there's so many hockey refs that tweet exactly what's going on. You feel like you watched the game.
How'd you feel about Malkin, the 1,000th game? He got the ceremony, unfortunately, that Sid couldn't, or at least on the road, as close as you're going to get anyway. There's a lot of acknowledgement from the players, and the Penguins got to do all their social media stuff with it. I heard you say on your show this week you think he's the 4th-best Penguin. I agree with you. You say that out loud in the current day. There are some people who just bristle at it. Maybe those that are too young to remember Jagr. Maybe because Evgeny Malkin has the extra cup that Jagr didn't. It's sort of the debate, isn't it, Mark, between better Penguin and better player when it comes to Jagr and Malkin, don't you think?
No, Jagr was both.
Jagr was both, clearly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, but I mean, you know, the gap isn't, you know, huge between Jagr and Malkin. But yeah, if you don't say Geno's like great unequivocally, then the Geno Nation thinks you're a hater. And Tim, I can break it down to more than the Jagr comparison. You know, the Penguins, since Gino got here, have tried to put him and Sid on an even footing in terms of the way they're presented, PR-wise, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And some people are actually dumb enough to believe that. When there's just no comparison between Sid and Gino and players. Like, they're not even close as players. But some would have you think they are.
Finally, Mark, how was Winger? How was the show?
Real good. I mean, they still look the part. They sound the part. That's one thing that like a lot of groups are really is they, and it's like Motley Crue because Vince Neil's so big doesn't look like Motley Crue anymore. You know, Kiss with the makeup. Kiss is so old that they look old through the makeup.
Yeah, it's like an old gimmick with old timers wearing it on Halloween or something like that. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And then you got Foreigner, you know, going out with no original members a lot of the time, and only occasionally Mick Jones, and when he plays. He only plays a couple songs. The last time I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd, the only original member is Gary Rossington, and he only played a couple songs. So this is all winding down. So seeing Winger, you know, look and look the part and play really well was a fun night out. And, you know, I got to talk to everybody afterwards, Rev, Kip, you know, Paul Taylor, Rod, and Johnny, like all five guys. And they have all their guys, too, and that's big.
What is Kip Winger like? How does he sound these days?
Great. He sounds terrific.
Okay. And Reb, terrific. Still Reb?
Yeah, they're a great band. And when they play, like, they played like 75 minutes tonight, 80 minutes, it really is just great song after great song after great song. So I give them a lot of credit. And, you know, I don't know if Whitesnake's done. I suspect they are with, you know, David having canceled the support slot with Scorpions in the U.S. because he had an upper respiratory infection. And David just sold, I just found out, David sold his publishing rights for $30 million. Cool. So, you know, I don't think he needs to work anymore. So, you know, another one probably bites the dust. So hopefully that'll mean, you know, Reb and Winger can get out more.
Well, we know for the Steelers, it's time to surrender and they're heading for a heartbreak. And Mark Madden and I will be on to recap it even more tomorrow.
Why do you even want to surrender it?
It's a state of emergency. It's like Winger wrote their whole greatest hits album for the Steelers, Mark.
And Tim, there will be a lot of games when the Steelers only score 17.
This is Madden Monday.